It's time to head into the barn. This is the Bet America Radio Network. You're in the barn. In the barn. Talking horse racing news, events, and a whole lot more. Here's your host, Jason Bean.
All right, a good Friday morning to everybody. Welcome into the barn. Man, I'm fired up. The weekend's coming. In fact, let's play the official Friday song. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that to you and play the rest of that song. But, man, I hope everybody's having a fantastic Friday, getting ready for another weekend of racing across the country. Of course, the Risen Star taking a bit of center stage because of the Kentucky Derby points at stake and a couple of big horses. And we're going to talk about that race coming up a little bit later with Michael Baychuk. We got two big interviews today, so we're going to keep the intro short. In fact, the jury was even pushed back. Not just because of the busy interviews. The Zika virus has struck Southern California. Raider Mike and Evil Seabass both feeling a little bit under the weather. So the jury has been postponed. I'm even feeling a little bit under the weather. But as part of the Risen Star, I do want to remind you about that Road to the Kentucky Derby promotion. Go to betamerica.com/extra and click on the promotions calendar for more information. But if you bet on, let's say, Aeroforce, and Aeroforce wins, and he makes it to the Kentucky Derby, you'll get a free win bet on Aeroforce in the Kentucky Derby. Let's say Mo Tom wins. If he wins this weekend, he makes the Kentucky Derby field, and you have a win bet on him, you'll get a win bet on him in the Kentucky Derby. So it's that easy. So be sure to check out our Road to the Kentucky Derby promo. Again, it starts last week, but it'll pretty much feature every points race as we go throughout the Kentucky Derby trail here. But two big guests I mentioned. Michael Baychuk, the 2012 National Handicapping Championship, going to join us a little bit later. But first up, we're going to talk with Drayden Van Dyke, rider on the Southern California circuit, a real young man who's had an extreme success. He was the Apprentice of the Year in 2014. He had another great year last year in 2015, and he's off to a pretty good start so far in 2016. So we're not going to waste any time. We're going to head out to our first little quick commercial break here. When we come back, Drayden Van Dyke, and coming up later on in the show, Michael Baychuk. Busy Friday here in the Bet America Radio Network.
Hello, this is Kayla Strah, and I'm here to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It is the fastest growing legal, safe, and secure website to place all your bets on horse racing. BetAmerica covers over 200 racetracks from North America, the UK, and my home country, Australia. New players to BetAmerica receive a 100% bonus on your first deposit up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the BetAmerica way.
All right, back here on the Bet America Radio Network, and we are pleased to go down to a beautiful Southern California and welcome in a jockey on the Southern California circuit, Drayden Van Dyke, joining us on the show. Drayden, how are you?
Very good. How are you?
Doing good. Drayden, I had Kayla Strah on the show last week, and she was telling me that you were one of the breakout basketball stars in the jockey basketball game last week.
Yeah. Us jockeys, we faced the eighth graders the last, I think we're undefeated the last 3 years, and I don't know. It's all for a good cause, and all in fun. So,
Did you play basketball growing up?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I never made it on the team. I was always a little bit too small, but play with a lot of my buddies after school, and we get big games going together. So, kind of pick up games every once in a while. So, yeah.
Which of your fellow jockeys are good basketball players as well?
I have to tell you what, Chester Bonnet, he definitely scored more points than I did this year. I scored 27 points last year. I don't know how many points I scored this year, definitely over 10, but Chester definitely took over this year. I was probably the Stephen Curry out there. I made about 20 assists. So, yeah, and Edwin Maldonado played really well. Who else played really well? Kent Zormo, he played for a little bit. He played good. Oh yeah,
I've heard Nakatani's good, but I heard he wasn't there this year.
Yeah, Nakatani, unfortunately, he's at Oakland, so not there.
So Drayden Van Dyke joining us here on the Bet America Radio Network. Now, Drayden, you grew up around racing. Your father was a jockey, and you grew up in Hot Springs. Did you spend a lot of time going to Oakland as a kid?
Yes, I did. Not a whole lot, but once I really got into it, me and my brother, we'd go there together, and he was just kind of starting to work on the racetrack a little bit too, And just went up there, had fun, and I knew most of the people around there, so yeah.
Oh, it's kind of a unique town there because Oakland kind of really is the center of the city there.
Right.
Yeah.
It's definitely a unique place. I would love to get there and to ride there more often because so many people go out there and watch it because really when the races are there, that's the main thing to go to on an everyday basis, and they get great crowds, great everything, great races, great purses, and it's a great place.
You just got to tell Baffert to put you on one of them nice three-year-olds he sends out for the Red Bull.
Yeah, exactly, huh? Yeah.
The Arkansas Derby. Drayton Van Dyke joining us. Who were some of your favorite jockeys as a kid growing up?
Growing up, of course, Bill Shoemaker. I never really got to be around to watch him, but just growing up and watching old school videos and stuff like that. Gary Stevens, Mike Smith. Of course, those two are my closest mentors of all time, Gary Stevens and Mike Smith, both really close to me and both helped me out tremendously. Those guys mainly.
I read in a story that Tom Proctor was a mentor to you early on, and he suggested that you go down to the farm and kind of learn to be a horseman as opposed to just a jockey. What was that experience like going down to Ocala and doing that work?
Great experience. It was tough at first. It was rough there for a little bit. I didn't think I was going to make it as a rider or just in the business at all because I was having a hard time at first. But I got in the swing of things and actually became really good at breaking horses from what Tom's brother, Hap Proctor, and just the people around there at the farm. I caught on very quick, and not only did I learn how to ride better and become a horseman as well, I learned how to break babies and just do everything. Learned how to drive a tractor. I harrowed the track on the tractor. I was a track man. So I did everything, and I wouldn't take it back for the world.
When you say you struggled a little bit early on, what were the things that were real tough for you?
Yeah, well, I was getting run off with every once in a while. There at the farm, we'd gallop the right way and we'd gallop the wrong way and stuff like that. And they put me on some horses that were probably above my level. And I wasn't quite strong yet. Of course, I'm tiny. When I got to the farm, I probably weighed about 100 pounds. So just getting run off with getting run off with it is not a great feeling. It's very scary.
I'll bet.
And I just didn't think I don't think I'm going to last here. I don't think I'm going to be able to do this. But eventually, I got strong, constantly cleaning stalls and just jogging myself and working out myself, trying to improve my body. And before long, I could gallop anything pretty much.
Now you mentioned you being a little bit smaller frame. Do you have to battle the weight as much as a lot of the other guys, or can you kind of treat yourself a little bit?
I don't have to battle it. Every once in a while, I'll get a little heavier, but my type of heavy is probably about 111, 112 pounds, which to the average jockey, that's really, really light for them. Mm-hmm. But my average weight, I probably stay around 107 to 109. So I can eat whatever I want to.
I remember I was working at Emerald Downs one time, and I went out to lunch with these two jockeys, and one of them was very small built, and the other one was very tall and thin. And the poor tall thin guy's eating a salad a leaf at a time, and the other guy's eating fish and chips. And I remember
yeah.
the tall guy got frustrated. Did any of the other jocks ever look at you and like, oh man, you lucky little bastard?
No, I don't know. It's just. Really, you can eat, in my opinion, you can eat whatever you want. It's just all about the portion. Mm-hmm. You just can't eat too much of anything. Of course, you can have a slice of pizza. Just have one slice. Don't have three or four. You know, it's all about portions.
Drayden Van Dyke joining us here on the Bet America Radio Network. Now, when you finish up working for Proctor at the farm and you decide, okay, I'm gonna be a jockey, and you come out west. What do you remember about your first mount? What was that like the first time going out on the track? You know, in the silks and in with you know horses that are being bet on. What was that experience like?
Well, my first race of all time is for the farm that I work for, Glen Hill Farm. Horse named Two Term Leader. He's a big gray horse and cool horse, and I was nervous as hell in the paddock. I seen a picture of myself. My face looked freaking is so white. I looked sick. yeah, I was really, really nervous, but once the gates opened and got that first race out of the way, I could not wait to get back on another one and do it again. And my second race, it was a whole different story. I came out there. I was confident. I was riding another horse for Glen Hill Farm. There's a horse named Money Clip. Came out there. I was straight my stuff. I was really, really confident and couldn't wait. And I actually won. So I won my second race I ever rode. And it's for the farm that I learned how to ride at. So it was a great, great little story.
Yeah, Glen Hill's been a really fantastic operation for you. Do you still, I mean, obviously you're based out in Southern California. Do you ever go back to Florida at all and check in kind of at their main headquarters there?
No, I haven't got to do that. I would actually really get, if I ever get a chance to go down there to Gulfstream or ride there at Tampa one day, I'd like to kind of stop over there and say hello to everyone. Of course, I lived on the farm for 6.5 months, so I got close with a lot of people back there. One guy there that I really took a liking to was his name's Tom McCall, and he's been there since I think that the farm started at least over 30 years, and he taught me basically how to do everything back there. So owe a lot to Mr. Tom McCall, I'd love to make a little pit stop there one day.
I remember one of your first stakes wins was the Pucker Up at Arlington. Do you like going to other tracks like that where you haven't ridden before, or is it kind of more nerves than it's worth, or is it actually exciting and fun?
No, it's exciting. It's really exciting. It's a different scenario. It's different riders, different horses. And I actually really enjoy it. And for me, in the bigger races, like the stake races and stuff, it doesn't really matter where I'm at. It just seems like I get in this focus and just try to ride a great race. And when the gates open, it just follow the flow of everything and just try to ride a good race. I never really get too nervous. Of course, I have the butterflies and I'm ready to get out there and do it. But that's normal for any type of jockey. If you don't have a little bit of nervousness or kind of butterflies, something's not really right with you. I thrive anywhere. If I'm feeling good and if I'm happy with the horse I'm riding, I think I'm going to ride pretty well.
I've heard from a lot of jockeys that the nerves kind of go away once you actually get up on the horse. Like if you're in the paddock and there's all the excitement around there, you can get, you know, a little bit
exactly.
antsy. But like the horse, I imagine for you is probably a calming influence.
Yeah. It's just all the pressure and the everything just building up on you. Who's the best horse? Who are you thinking in your head? Who are you going to follow? My horse breaks fast or my horse breaks slow. What do I need to do? And just a bunch of stuff's going through your head, and you got the owners, trainers, and everyone that go out there. You got the fans, and so yeah. When you get on your horse, you can just kind of relax and just pet the horse and get out there. It's calm once you get out there on the track and kind of focus and get your game plan set. And yeah, I watch old videos of Lafitte Pinkire saying like he was really, really nervous before. Every time he'd get on a horse, but when he was on the horse, like everything went away and he was calm. So I believe that.
You know, you mentioned, when you're getting ready, you know, if my horse is a front runner, is he a closer? How do you go upon handicapping a race? Do you just read the form the day before or do you wait till the day of? What's kind of your process with handicapping?
I usually wait for the day of. When I get in the room, I go over every race I have to ride look at the scratches that might be in the race. And if I never really rode the horse before, I'll go and look at a couple of good replays of its good races, and maybe a replay of one of its bad races to see just what happened. Mm-hmm. And if there's another really good horse in that race, that I might go look at my competitor's replay, and just stuff like that. That's basically what I do.
Drayton Van Dyke joining us here on the Bet America Radio Network. You mentioned earlier Gary Stevens and Mike Smith being, you know, big mentors for you. What are some of the best things you've learned from those guys?
There's so many things that I learned from them. Just how to handle yourself, going out to the paddock on time early, making sure you know the names of the owners and say you go out there and there's an elderly owner, make sure you give her a kiss on the cheek or something, and just simple stuff like that the old veteran riders know to do. And Mike really helped me with my left hand sticking.
Mm-hmm.
Just certain unique ways that he's learned over the past years to really pull it through quick, he's big about, he calls it following the flow. Just go out there and just really connect with your horse, put your hands down, just try to get really, really relaxed with the horse and just follow the rhythm. A lot of people say that I kind of learned how to put my hands down similar to Mike Smith, which I think that's a great compliment to me. But I don't know, everyone has their own certain style, and we just kind of feed off each other. And like you say, you never stop learning as a jockey. Learn something new every day. Something different always happens every other day. So I don't know, we just feed off each other. And it's great to be around great riders, because good riders make you ride good. And that's very important.
One thing I'm curious about, you know, you're a younger guy, obviously, and you've had some great success so far. Do you talk to those guys about, you know, how to manage success, how to manage money at a young age? Because, you know, I know a lot of folks your age are just getting out into the workforce and don't know a lot about that kind of stuff. Is that stuff you've sought advice from them about?
Oh, yes. Mike's really helped me out with the money situation, Bill. He got me connected with his bookkeeper. She's really helped me with getting my own check set up, my own corporation set up, got me a great accountant. And eventually I'm going to start investing, but I have an investor I got set up with and everything. So yeah, Mike really, really helped me out with that stuff. And I really thank him for that.
Somebody told me one time the best financial decision Mike Smith ever made was not getting married.
That might be true. He's done really, really well, he's done great savings. So I don't know if that's part of it, but I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, yeah, you fall in love, you fall in love. Drayton Van Dyke joining us here for a couple more minutes. You know, being a jockey is such a 7-day-a-week job. What do you like to do in your downtime when you have a little bit of time off?
Definitely catch up on sleep. Say if I'm traveling a lot, taking some red eyes, that really wears you out.
Mm-hmm.
So if on my downtime, I like to catch up on sleeping. I work out a whole lot. Like actually, I just got off the mountain with Mike Smith. We ran up about a mile and a half up the mountain and ran back down, and just stuff like that. I like to hang out with some friends. Love to go eat out to eat. Big sushi fanatic. Love to play basketball, of course, and I don't know, golf every once in a while. I'm not a great golfer, but yeah. Just have fun, just relax and have fun.
Hey, I wanted to ask you about a couple of horses that you've been riding before we let you go. Cassiopeia in the El Camino Real Derby just last weekend ran a good third. You know, it broke a little bit slow and had a little bit of trouble. Can you tell me a little bit about that horse and your experience riding in that race?
Yeah, first time riding him. I got to work him once in the morning at Santa Anita, his last work prior to that race. and watched his replay at Woodbine. It was a 5-horse field. It was a very small field, but there was a good horse named Riker in there, and he finished a good second to Riker. But he broke a little awkward in that race. He broke out, but he did break decent. And in this race at the El Camino Real Derby, of course, there was 13 horses compared to 5 horses, so that might have been an issue. And we were the number 2 horse, so we got in there pretty early. And he was standing good, did everything right, and just the gates opening, just kind of walked out of there. So that was really unfortunate for me and Cassiopeia. We kind of gave the winner, Frank Conversation, at least an 8 or 9 length head start out of the gate. So I think that really cost us, but still got up for third. I don't know how many derby points he got for that, but we're trying to get some derby points. That was the main goal, but I don't know. He still has a lot to learn. He is still a little green on switching his leads, but I think he has a lot of potential. He's a very calm horse, very smart horse, and I think he has a lot of talent. Just hasn't really learned himself yet, so I think there's a big future for him. Just got to be patient with him.
And then coming up this weekend, you have Theater Star in the Grade 2 Buena Vista, which came up as a 14-horse field. I'm curious, like, you know, you mentioned the 13-horse field in the El Camino Real Derby. Is it just easier for you guys when there's less horses? I mean, I picture 14 horses being a little bit scary sometimes.
Yeah, it's going to be scary if you don't break good. And it just depends on where your horse is usually at in the race. Theater Star, she usually breaks pretty well and can get herself in a good spot. So I'm not really worried about our post position. I'm going to try to break pretty decent and get probably a mid-pack position, if not forwardly placed. And but it's like Tom Proctor, he's really avid about breaking out of the gate very well and getting a good position. So going to try to do my best and just see how the race unfolds. There could be a lot of speed in front of us, and the race could be really spread out, or it could be no speed, and everyone will be very compact. It's always different, so just got to see how it all plays out.
Well, Drayton, I really appreciate your time, and of course, we wished you the best of luck going forward, and we'll chat with you soon.
All right. Thank you, no problem.
Drayton Van Dyke joining us here on the Bet America Radio Network. We'll be right back after this short timeout.
Hey, I'm Chantel Sutherland Cruz, and want to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It's the coolest place to bet on horse racing on over 200 racetracks from America and around the world. New players receive a 100% bonus on your first deposit, up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the Bet America way.
All right, welcome back to the Bet America Radio Network, and we are pleased to go out to, I believe, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and welcome in 2012 NHC champion Michael Bachok joining us on the phone. Michael, how are you?
I'm good, Jason. How are you? And just for, you know, point of reference and complete disclosure, I'm currently in Charleston, South Carolina, in anticipation of the Republican presidential primary race on Saturday. So that's my other job in real life is politics. So yeah, I'm here doing a little politicking.
Yeah, I know your background is in political consulting. Has this season been a little crazier than normal, or is that maybe just social media working its magic?
It has been the most craziest and unpredictable season of presidential politics that, you know, I can remember, and I've been around and involved in presidential politics since the mid-70s. So it's just, you know, the winners and losers and who's going to lead and who's fading, it's harder to predict than the Kentucky Derby in, you know, January. It's just been it's incredible. It's unprecedented, the presidential race this year on both sides, not just the Republican and also the Democratic side.
Does part of you enjoy that, though, just because it makes for interesting viewing, or do you wish it would kind of calm down a little bit?
That's a great question. I mean, at this point, I'm a Democrat, so I mean, I work in Democratic politics. We actually worked for Governor Martin O'Malley, who's a really big supporter of the horse racing industry, but that's an aside. Yes, I do like the uncertainty, and it just makes for more enjoyment on my end, but. And it also makes for more business opportunities, because when there's more uncertainty, it means there's more players in the field and maybe more money in the arena. So maybe we can get hired somewhere to do something.
Michael Baychak joining us, the 2012 NHC champion. And I got to talk to you for a little bit at this year's NHC. How did the tournament go for you this year?
Well, I can break it up into two parts. The day one was fantastic. I was right where I wanted to be, in the top 50 with $100 or 100 points. And day two started out just about as well as could be. I accumulated another 30 or so points after the first four plays. I had like 14 left, and I was in great shape. And then I guess the wheels came off, the train went off the track, and I just couldn't put anything together. I made one mistake. Ultimately may not have cost me making it to the final payoff. But so it was kind of a tale of two days. Day one and a quarter was pretty good, and then I just couldn't connect on anything on day two. And that's just that's the way it goes. I mean, you have to have two solid days to make the top 10%, and you have to really have two super solid days to make the final table. So that's how mine went. But I was happy with my performance. I think to me, any contest is about making the right decisions, not necessarily about what the results are. And so I think I made really good decisions. I did make one critical mistake again on day two, but it probably would never have impacted my ultimate finishing position, because I really couldn't connect on anything after that.
Did you do you know the Matisse brothers that finished first and fourth in the contest? Because I found them to be extremely impressive. I mean, it seemed like those guys that were at the final table on the second day, like, it was the same nine guys that kind of stayed up at the top. I mean, they just didn't relinquish at all.
I don't know the Matisse brothers. I mean, I've certainly heard of them before the contest. I mean, they're very solid, prolific contest players. They're also they play a lot out of their pocket, live money. So they're, very good. I thought the final table this year, and I'm not trying to disparage, previous couple of final tables, but I thought the final table this year was just loaded with talent and past performances of people that could win, on any given day, and certainly that day could have won top to bottom. I thought it was just an extremely strong final table, and Paul winning it just demonstrated that he's one of the best and a champion.
One of the interesting things was standing there for the final race, and normally when the favorite and the second favorite are 1-2 down the stretch, at the track the rooms get really loud, but at the NHC it was like nobody had any of those horses, and so it just kind of stood at is. But the handicapping community in the tournaments, I was amazed at the strong sense of community amongst the players.
Isn't that something? I mean, there is a certain sense of that at the racetrack, but it's usually, your small group of folks, two or three people that you go to the track with, and, you kind of hang out together. But at the NHC, I mean, you're bringing people in, and if you play any amount of tournaments during the year, even if you don't go live, you still, quote unquote, know people, from playing online, through Twitter, that you get some sense of friendship with, and it's even solidified when you get to a tournament. I mean, I look forward to not only the competition, but I really look forward to going to live tournaments and getting to see people and hang out with folks, go have a drink or two or three with folks after the races, and just, commune a little bit, find people that have similar interests. It's kind of hard. We live such a, as horse players, it's really, really a solitary existence sometimes. So it certainly is. It's great to get to see people that you don't see all the time, that you share common interests, and that you can just have really good conversation and become fast friends with. So I really look forward to that. And that, you know, if I'd ever missed the NHC, if I don't qualify, I told people that I'm going to go just because I enjoy the atmosphere. It's just a great community of folks.
Yeah, it was my first time going, and so it was a real learning experience. And I'm real excited to go. I'm going to go to the Horse Player World Series this year to see it, maybe how that differs a little bit. But I was very sucked into the experience. I thought it was fantastic. Now, Michael, I know a lot of folks came to know you through the show Horse Players. What was that experience like being on a reality television show?
It was unlike anything I've ever experienced in my life. As part of my political career, I'm mostly behind the camera and behind the scenes. So being in front of the camera and in the middle of a scene was something, you know, it was a real learning experience. And I got a greater appreciation for, you know, my clients that I put up in front of people and in front of a television audience and stuff like that. So, but, you know, just getting to go to all the tracks, getting kind of a VIP treatment at tracks and going behind the scenes, you know, meeting Zenyatta, you know, just going to Saratoga and the workouts. It's just, it was a tremendous experience that way. On the other hand, it was just an awful tournament experience for me. I was not in a good place with my personal handicapping during that year for different reasons. I was fighting that, but at the same time, I loved, again, hanging out with the guys. And, you know, that was such a great, special group of folks that would be friends for life. And it was fun. It was frustrating, fun and frustrating. I don't think I really functioned very well under the spotlight of the cameras during tournament play, but it also just could have been that I was just handicapping really poorly that particular six-month period, so...
Michael Baychak joining us here on the Bet America Radio Network, and we're going to talk about the Risen Star Stakes that's coming up. But I wanted to ask you, this is a totally random question, but I thought about this when I was thinking about you. You won the 2012 NHC, and it's $1 million first prize. Now, my question is, after the dinner party, the celebration, all the stuff, and you go back to the hotel, and your head hits the pillow, what on earth are you thinking about after you just won $1 million?
That's a good question. Well, I had my wife there with me, which was special. And I was just thinking how it was just a total dream come true first. And I didn't really think, I couldn't really grasp at that point whether what it really all meant. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, $1 million, I don't want this to sound, I don't know how this is going to sound, but the money was not important to me. Mm-hmm. The accomplishment of, you know, not only winning it, but also, you know, beating other very, very good handicappers. I think when my head hit the pillow, I just really wanted to reach around my back and pat myself on the back and say, you know, you really did a good job. I mean, yeah. Because it could have been anybody. It could have been a lot of other people, you know, 40 or 50 other people that could have won. And it wasn't, and it was me. And I just, you know, I still look back on that and say, you know, that was a pretty good performance. And it turned out to be, you know, something that I'll certainly never forget, but it's something that I've built upon, I think, and tried to do some sort of good within the industry, either promotion and for Thoroughbred retirement and stuff like that, that I think, you know, that gave me the floor and the opportunity. I wasn't thinking about that when my head hit the pillow. I was probably too drunk at that point. because, I mean, we did party pretty hard. I think, you know, the next morning I probably started thinking about, you know, this is really something special. And it turned out to be.
Well, you actually, and you bought the horse that won the last race that gave you the championship, right?
I did. I claimed Glorious Dancer. A few races after she had won that race, she was a maiden when she won, and I claimed her for like $6,500. And Steve Sherman in California ran her a couple times. We actually won a race with her, and then she came up with a really slight injury that would have taken, you know, 6 months or so to kind of get over. And I said, you know what? She's done all that she could ever do. I mean, she didn't need to do anything more for me. Mm-hmm. And so I brought her back to Louisiana, and someone, a neurosurgeon, adopted her. and made her a polo pony. And now she performs, she went down in Miami, you know, she's a top-notch polo pony for this neurosurgeon.
I'm always fascinated where horses end up like that. I have a friend who's a trainer, and you know, he'll send me pictures like, "Hey, you remember so and so?" And you know, here he is up in, you know, Canada doing these sled races. You know, they all a lot, so many of them. It's just cool to follow their careers after the races. Michael Bachok.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I wasn't trying to, and I don't think anybody out there can say every horse, but I think if each one of us just says, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to try to." You know, save or prolong a life of one horse, and I think, you know, we can all have an impact, and that's all I was really trying to do.
Absolutely. Well, Michael, big race coming up in your home state this weekend, the Risen Star Stakes, and another big field. The fields tend to be pretty big there for a lot of the preps in the Derby the last couple of years. And Aeroforce made the 5-2 morning line favorite, and Mo Tom, who won the LeCompte Stakes. It seems like a lot of people are kind of viewing it as maybe a match between those two.
Yeah, I don't know that it's that cut and dry. I mean, Jason, I wish all races you could, you know, they would be, okay, it's just two horses. But I think, as we both know, with three-year-olds, you know, they can really get good really fast. So I'm not arguing with anybody that says it is between those two. I've been a huge Aeroforce fan, you know, since before the Breeders' Cup. I think I bet him in the Breeders' Cup. But I've turned into a really big Mo Tom fan. I actually had him second in my Ultimate Breeders Kentucky Derby poll, Brisnet, sponsored by Brisnet. You know, so I think Mo Tom, based on his last race in LeCompte, and being at his home track, not having to travel, I think he's certainly horse to beat. But Aeroforce is a very classy horse. And then, I mean, we've got Gunrunner by Steve, you know, trained by Steve Asmussen and Winchell owned, who ran in the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes. He ran fourth, and that race has just produced, I mean, a lot of wins mm-hmm. out of that race, and he was right there until the very end. He's been training terrifically, probably training better than any horse in the field. So Gunrunner's going to have a lot to say about it. And of course, you've got Dolphus, Rachel Alexander's brother. And then there's other horses in there that, you know, can jump up at a moment's notice and show that they've matured over the past month or so into a horse that is ready to win the Kentucky Derby. But I think it's a very deep race. I wouldn't feel super confident about picking someone on top, but my I'll personally and, you know, emotionally be pulling for Mo Tom, because I really like Tom Amos, the trainer, and I'm a homer with Tom Benson and his wife Gail, who own the Saints, who own the horse. So That's who I'll be pulling for.
Do you like seeing horses have a run over the fairground tracks? I mean, we've seen, like, with International Star, he clearly loves it there. Is it a track that you do give a little bit of favoritism to horses who have run there, have shown they like that surface, or can horses ship in there well?
I think both. I think horses have shipped in, but I do think that there are horses that come in and don't like the track at all. I mean, we've seen some big favorites over the past few years come in for some of these three-year-old races, you know, And they just don't fire, and they go somewhere else and run pretty good. I mean, Keen Ice, I don't think he ever really liked the track. He turned out to be pretty good. Mo Tom obviously really liking it. It's going to be important. Obviously, I think Gunrunner, because he's training so well, probably likes the track as well. So, yeah, you never know. Aeroforce is an interesting horse. His only dirt race, I think, was on in the slot.
Yeah.
You know, he was a turf horse before then. So, yeah, the jury could kind of still be out on whether he really likes, you know, dry dirt. And but Mark Cassie is such a good trainer. I don't know that he would. He would try him on dry dirt. You know, I mean, it's the Kentucky Derby, for goodness sake. So, I mean, you know, he would try him. So, but that's a question mark. So, I don't know if the fairgrounds is one of those tracks that has a reputation of you got to have a race over or not.
Michael Bachok joining us. And real quick before we let you go, the three-year-old filly series down there at Fairgrounds has just produced some monsters over the last couple of years. And Stage Place kind of stamped herself maybe as the early, you know, favorite in this series. And the Rachel Alexander Stakes coming up this weekend. I thought this race actually came up pretty tough. It didn't seem like she scared a whole lot of horses away.
She didn't, and that may be a testament to what you mentioned before, is that the Fairgrounds three-year-old filly series is the place to prep for the Kentucky Oaks. I mean, I want to say it's 6 out of the last 12 winners, mm-hmm. or it might even be 7 out of 13 winners of the Fairgrounds Oaks have won the Kentucky Oaks, which is kind of hard to believe. I mean, yeah. You know, it's not, we're not Gulfstream, we're not San Anita, we're not New York, and for some reason it's become just, you know, the place that you want to prep. So maybe that's why we've drawn such a really good field. I'm personally a very, very big, I'm very bullish on Stage Play. I mean, I think she's one of these, you know, let's forget about Songbird, who's obviously a freak. I think Stage Play is certainly in the top of her class, and it's going to take a lot of beating in the next couple of races at the Fairgrounds. I was very impressed with her race in Silver Bullet Day, and I don't see any reason why she won't handle these horses fairly easily. I know there's a shipper, mm-hmm. Forever Darling, has come in, but I think Stage Play is going to take a lot of beating on Saturday.
Yeah, my buddy John Dooley, who I don't know if you know, the announcer, but he's always talking about it. He just can't believe the Fairground Oaks is not a grade one yet.
It's kind of ridiculous. I mean, I don't know what kind of criteria that they're using, but I mean, if they're obviously not using the right criteria, because if you produce the winners in the last decade, 50% of the number one filly race, 3-year-old filly race, why are you not a grade one? I really don't know what that's all about.
Well, and the Rachel Alexandra is a grade two as well. So it's like, you know, you're using a grade two to prep for a grade two.
Yeah, that's the politics of horse racing, which is actually probably a lot more complicated and a lot worse than the politics of elections, I can promise you.
Well, you enjoy the weekend festivities in South Carolina. We really appreciate your time, Michael, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And I do want to mention at one at the end that, you know, I've been part of a website recently called thetournamentedge.net, mm-hmm. and I would be remiss in not mentioning that if for contest players, if there's a place that you want to go and learn about how to play contests, get some pointers, watch some videos about each weekend, races coming up with races being featured in contests, thetournamentedge.net is a place where you can go for free and get some information that is that will help you become a much better contest and tournament player.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that. I got to know Barbara and Anthony. I had dinner with them down at the Treasure Island there, and I know Bobby Shoemaker's part of it. And, you know, I didn't know a lot about these guys, and then I follow the tournaments now throughout the week, and like Bobby's on a hot run right now. Anthony seems to win tournaments every other day. And you guys have assembled a pretty good collection of tournament minds there.
Well, I think they're much better than I am at winning tournaments. You know, Anthony and Bobby and Barbara, I mean, and Barry Spears. I mean, these people are winning tournaments every day, every weekend. You know, they're winning a lot of money, and there's a reason why. And it's not just because they're good handicappers. It's because they're playing the right strategy, and they've learned how to play tournaments. And I think that's the difference between betting and playing tournaments. There is a strategy. It's a different strategy. And these guys can, you know, they're gonna offer some tips and some strategy, and they're gonna teach. I mean, that's what we want to do. We want to teach people and train people how to play tournaments so that more people will play. And it really is the only growth part of our industry, the whole tournament section of our industry. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we hope to become part of helping grow racing, but certainly grow the tournament space over the next year or so.
Yeah, the Tournament Edge. I know they're on Twitter, and you can find Barbara Boley on Twitter. Anthony Trez is on there. Everybody can find him. In fact, when we put out the show tomorrow, we'll put out some links to their stuff. But, Michael, really appreciate your time, man. Have a great weekend.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, Michael Baychok joining us here on the Bet America Radio Network. We'll be right back after this short timeout. You're in the barn.
This is the Bet America Radio Network. You're in the barn with Jason Beam.
All right, so my thanks, great thanks to Drayton Van Dyke and Michael Baychok for joining us here on the Bet America Radio Network. And we hope everybody has a fantastic weekend, and hope your horses all run well. I'm sure they will.
Be sure to visit betamerica.com/extra. Click on that promotions calendar. We've got a ton of great stuff going on. If you haven't signed up for Bet America yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. With that up to $300 sign-up bonus match and great customer service and fantastic video platform, everything you need in an ADW. So check us out, betamerica.com, and get signed up. So if you ever have comments or questions for The Barn, you can always email us, barn@betamerica.com. You can find me on Twitter at BeamyAwards, or, of course, find us at on Twitter at BetAmerica. So from all of us at Team BetAmerica, we hope you have a great weekend, and we'll look forward to seeing you back on Monday here in The Barn. Good night.